This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation. Football's back. Week one is here. I am Bill Enright, along with Todd DeVries and our producer, Kevin Collins. Gentlemen, how excited are we that football is back? The NFL season is set to kick off.
It is about time, my friend.
Woo-wee!
Kevin replies via, you know, the soundboard. He doesn't use his actual voice, Bill.
I don't blame him.
He's like a robot man over there.
I would use that soundboard for all my communication if I could.
It's only a matter of time before he uses that one Fred clip that we so much enjoy.
You don't have that, Kevin. You don't have that. You know, I'm so excited.
No, I do not have that.
I'll just sing it. No problem. You don't have to have it. I'm so excited. You know what I'm talking about.
Pointer Sisters?
I don't know. Is that who sings it?
Yeah. Yes. That's back
from my day. It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
That was my singing routine? Thanks. Anyway.
No, the football porn begins tonight.
The football porn does begin tonight. Broncos and Ravens. You know, it's really such a shame, and by no means am I a Baltimore Ravens fan, but it is tradition in the NFL for the Super Bowl winner to have home field advantage in week one. But the stupid Baltimore Orioles had to have a game tonight down in Baltimore, so the Ravens are on the road in week one to take on the Broncos. What do you think of that, Todd? You think baseball should get out of the way?
Seriously, can't the Ravens put their foot down in their own city?
You would think the Super Bowl champions, the best football team in the world, would be able to tell the Orioles to go take a hike for a day.
I mean, seriously, Bill. Really? It's the White Sox and the stinking Orioles.
I know we're on Patriots.com radio, but just put yourselves in the Baltimore Ravens fans, their shoes for just 1 second. Imagine the Pats won a Super Bowl, and then the following season, you guys were on the road week one instead of having a celebration, an opening kickoff game at Gillette.
F-ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
I think people would be pissed off.
That's how I would feel.
There you go.
I totally agree. I mean, come on now, Bill. What is this? Why couldn't Goodell put his foot down? This is big business here.
I don't know.
And still, you get the pitching duel, Miguel Gonzalez versus Jose Quintana.
I couldn't tell you what that means for 1 second.
Hey.
I'm not a baseball fan. My love for football is only matched by my hatred for baseball.
Well, you know, Miguel Gonzalez has a 4.11 ERA, Bill.
Yeah.
And he's looking pretty...
Who the hell is Miguel Gonzalez?
The only thing I care about is Peyton Manning's touchdown total tonight, because I got Demaryius Thomas in a few leagues. I got Eric Decker in a couple leagues. So I'm excited. Big-time fantasy matchup. Oh, by the way, I got Ray Rice in my Dynasty League. A lot of fantasy implications tonight, Todd. We're going to get into a little bit of a fantasy preview for tonight's Thursday night battle, and also go over the week one great matchups, the dream fantasy football matchups, the nightmarish fantasy football matchups, and also the fantasy football lopsided matchups. Quickly, which one do you think the Patriots and the Bills, which category do you think that falls into?
Lopsided.
Lopsided, dream matchup or nightmare matchup? Yeah, lopsided. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, other than C.J. Spiller, maybe Stevie Johnson, I can't imagine many people relying on the Bills tonight. Or
you got to give some credit.
Bills this weekend.
Got to give some credit to the NFL scheduling kings, though, Bill, because they did give us a few gems, and we'll go over those later. I mean, there's some really, really solid matchups that are going to take you through not only tonight, but all day Sunday and into Monday night. I mean, there's great games at every time slot.
So we do want to help everyone with their fantasy football lineups. There's a couple ways that you can get in touch with us. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500, that's the phone number. Or you can email us. Let us know what you're questioning for your week one lineup, webradio@patriots.com. Todd, I think week one, at least in my experience in fantasy football, I always tend to go with the people that I drafted early in my draft. So if I drafted my first 8 picks, typically I get 3 running backs there. I get 3 wide receivers, maybe 4 wide receivers or 4 running backs. But I'm not going to put in my 13th or 14th round guy. That's mostly just for later in the season when some of the other players get dinged up.
Oh, absolutely. You got to, you know, people tend to overthink week one, Bill.
Yeah, and I don't understand why.
You know, we like to take chances, calculated risks, you and I, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all things being equal, in week one, it's usually smarter to play it conservatively, you know?
Right.
Just play it safe. You know, I know that you're excited about that sleeper in the 13th round, like you just said, Bill. But sometimes you just got to take the points where you can get them, survive and advance in week one.
Survive and advance. Survive and get that W.
You know, because there's a lot of surprises in week one. You know,
right,
you read all the coach speak in August. We try our best with the depth charts and the position battles and all this stuff. But there's always a couple of surprises that can throw you for a loop. So the goal is to minimize getting burned by those surprises and, you know, coming through with a solid effort in week one. Usually a solid effort will get you through week one. You know, if you take too many chances, you have a few clunkers on your lineup, then you got problems.
Right. Yeah, that's true. All right, so with that, with the fact of being consistent, of not taking as many risks for week one, what do you say we go over the player news? Not too much going on as we head into the first week of the 2013 NFL season, but still some players worth noting, specifically Danny Amendola with the Patriots, Todd. He was a limited participant in practice on Wednesday. I think the media kind of maybe overreacted a tad bit because, after all, we know what Bill Belichick does with his injury reports. Tom Brady's on it every week. So the fact that Amendola made the injury report this week doesn't really shock me, other than the fact that people already view him as a player that is prone to injury.
Yes. I mean, here's the deal. In week one, Bill, whether it's Amendola or some other guys we're going to get to on the injury list, in week one, everyone is fired up for their fantasy matchup. And usually everyone's cleared out their schedule. So between, you know, noon Eastern time and the 1 o'clock kickoffs, everyone's glued to the TV, glued to Twitter to make sure they have the latest and greatest information, glued to FF Champs. Bill, you have your video show on FFChamps.com, correct?
The Fantasy Game Day Live every Sunday.
Yes.
From 11:30 to 12:30.
Exactly.
Eastern on FF Champs TV.
Exactly.
Quick plug. It's all good.
Everyone is tuned into all that stuff to make sure, especially in week one, to make sure they have the latest and greatest information. We'll know during that window of FF Champs game day, Bill, we'll know then whether Amendola is out on the field, warming up or not. That's all you got to look at. And I'm guessing he will be out there.
I drafted Amendola in my full point PPR league as my wide receiver one. I am the not even the least bit concerned.
Okay.
I expect him to be a full 100% ready to go on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, you know, we're going to have people calling in and emailing us today, Bill, that are going to say, I have Torrey Smith and Amendola. Torrey Smith's going tonight. Or maybe one of the Broncos guys, you know. Who do I play? And if they really want to play Amendola, you know, they're going to have to bypass somebody tonight in order to play him. So that's kind of where it gets a little tricky with these Thursday nighters. These Thursday nighters, let's admit it, Bill, hasn't helped our business.
It throws a little bit of a wrinkle.
It makes us work a little harder.
A little bit.
Than we used to, because, you know, a lot of people are freaking out right about now trying to set their fantasy lineup. So it definitely prolongs the fantasy week and makes people make their decisions about 3 days earlier than normal.
All right, I'm going to run through this player news because the emails are stacking up. The phone lines are already pretty much jammed up. Hakeem Nicks of the New York Giants says he's about as good as he can be at this point in the season. Take that for what it's worth. I'm not really sure what really you could take from that. It seems like he's not 100%, but he's saying that as far as week one is concerned, he's about as healthy as he could be at this point. Maurice Jones-Drew, on the other hand, the running back from the Jacksonville Jaguars, says he's 100% and ready to carry the full workload. Todd, why is that good information? Because a lot of people expected MJD to either fall off this year or come back in a big way. I was one of those people that said he's going to come back in a big way, 27 years old, heading into a contract year. So this is good news for me if I draft, or good news for anyone that drafted MJD as their running back too.
Absolutely. MJD undervalued in nearly every draft I was in because he had a bad year last year and the injury issue. He should be fine, and as long as he bounces back and does what he normally does, Bill, you know, he's a top 6, 7, 8 running back. So I agree with you, man. I think he's fine. He's good to go. Even though he's on a bad team, he'll be just fine.
A couple more injury updates. Percy Harvin from the Seattle Seahawks is on the PUP list right now. He would be eligible to come back to action after week 6 in week 7. And he says, despite having hip surgery in July, which was supposed to take 4 to 6 months to recover, he says he'll be back in week 7. So we'll have to keep an eye on Percy Harvin's progress as we're heading into the October, the weeks in October.
Yeah, a little, some big talk there from Percy.
You think so?
He's talking about 2 months out, you know, how does he know what he's going to be like in 2 months? So
he got his doctorate at Florida.
Yeah. So I'm not really putting too much in stock into what he's saying.
And finally, New York Jets wide receiver Santonio Holmes doesn't look so good for week 1. Holmes was not participating in any of the preseason games, didn't practice in training camp. No reason to expect him back in action. Don't know why you would even have him on your fantasy team at this point.
Yeah, the 1% of people that own him.
Yeah, drop him.
Drop him.
Yeah, please. Go ahead and drop him.
By the way, while you're at it, drop all the rest of your Jets, too.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'm in a dozen fantasy leagues this year, and I don't have any New York Jet, not Chris Ivory, not Bilal Powell, not even the Jets defense on any of my fantasy teams. I think that's the way it should be.
You're a smart man.
Smart man. Thank you very much. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let's go to Seth in Louisiana, has a question about his quarterbacks. What's going on, Seth? We'd be happy to help you out dominating week 1. What do you got for us today?
I gotta tell you, I'm a little worried. I've got Tony and Kaepernick. I picked Kaepernick up first, and I just don't know who to put in.
Tony Romo?
Tony Romo.
Okay. Tony Romo or Colin Kaepernick. The Dallas Cowboys are taking on the New York Giants. The San Francisco 49ers are playing against the Green Bay Packers. Todd, what do you make of our guy, Seth's situation here?
All right. First of all, he's in a great situation because I like both of these guys this week. And in the FF Champs FFCPI, which are our weekly player rankings, we have them ranked number 7 and number 8 for quarterbacks. If you want to go big, big, big upside, Kaepernick is the play. We saw what he did against the Packers in the playoffs last year. He broke a couple big ones in the running game to go along with some decent passing stats. So if you want to go with the super upside, big, you know, chance for 35 fantasy points type guy, go Kaepernick. Romo, Bill, I think Romo is going to be just fine against the Giants. I think he's going to throw for between 275 and 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. So I like both of his plays. I think Romo might be safer, and Kaepernick is the go big guy.
I think he's going to clear 300 yards, Todd. The Giants' secondary is pretty banged up right now. Dez Bryant typically destroys the New York Giants, as does his teammate Miles Austin. So yep. I'm expecting a big game from Tony Romo, but I think you're right. If you want to go, if you want to bet big this weekend, Colin Kaepernick has got to be your quarterback. I mean, that's why you drafted him. You drafted Kaepernick so that you can get all those rushing yards and those rushing touchdowns to go along with everything he does passing the football. So I agree with you. I'd go Kaepernick in that situation. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. We have Olivier, our good friend Olivier, on the line. Hey, Olivier!
Hello, gentlemen, how are you?
You know, we know it's football season. Once we hear your voice, we're glad to have you back. 2013 NFL season kicking off in just a few hours as we're broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio.
I've been meaning to call you guys, and I've been, unfortunately, no excuses, but I've been listening to all the podcasts religiously. And I wanted to call and say hi, and hopefully we have a fantastic 2013 season. And actually, Kevin hosted me a couple of weeks ago, and I was visited your studio before you started to use it and did a great job installing everything. So I'm sure you guys are more comfortable than last year.
So we're glad that you oversaw Kevin with all the technical...
No, I didn't. No, yeah, everything was done. Everything was done when I got there.
You were helping him plug the wires in. Hey, this red wire goes here, the blue wire goes there.
No, I didn't.
So before we get to
the hard work.
Before we get to football, Olivier, you know, you are our international man of mystery, okay? Last season, every time you called, you were calling from a different continent, and we all know how bad Bill is with geography. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Where have you been this summer? Give us
every call where we have a capital country for Bill.
Please. Yeah. No, he would, you know, it'd fail that big time. So where have you been this summer? Where have you been this offseason? Give us your top 3 destinations. where Olivier hung out this summer?
I've been to Boston. Beautiful place. Fox Road, that stadium. I've been to Italy.
All right, now you're getting good.
That's about it.
That's it?
Italy and Boston?
Yes.
Dude, I had a better summer than that.
I know, I know. Thanks, Kevin. Stop it.
What's up with that?
I just wanted to call. I don't have very much fantasy questions. I'm personally doing my same gridiron ESPN type of fantasy where, you know, you have a budget and a cap space, and you can only use one player per week. So you were encouraged to try different combinations of players. And I haven't done my selection yet, so I will probably be calling in the next few weeks and ask for your infinite wisdom as what to do when in peril.
Well, we look forward to it.
Yeah, so, Olivier, between now and then, go somewhere exotic.
Yeah, because otherwise you're not that much fun to talk to.
Okay, well, if I don't call for about a month or so, it's because I haven't had, the international traveling schedule to be worthy of the few minutes you spend with me on the air.
Usually you're like, in advance. You're on the French Riviera with the girls in bikinis, and, you're doing the salsa.
For you, but it wasn't the case. But it would start soon again.
Disappointed.
Yes.
Bad way to start the season, dude.
I
was really looking forward to something awesome, and you really let me down.
The highlight of your summer.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it, man. Olivier, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. You let me down in a big way.
The great Andy Hart philosopher would say, hurt doesn't hurt. Truth doesn't hurt.
If you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail?
Yes. Yeah, I heard that too.
All right.
That was in two podcasts ago, if I remember.
That's very good. See, he was paying attention. Oh, now you put me in a good mood.
All right, I'm back.
All right, take care, Olivier.
Guys,
thanks for calling in.
And I'll talk to you soon. Have a great season.
Thank you.
Bill.
Yeah.
When the highlight of his offseason was visiting Kevin in the studio.
Well, you know what? I'm sure, Todd, we're a little spoiled. Hold on a second here. We're a little spoiled. We get to go into Gillette a lot, and we get to have some behind-the-scenes tour, and our studio is right outside the field. I'm sure for a big Patriots fan like Olivier, that was really cool to kind of see the studio.
He did come to watch a training camp practice. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that was cool. Let's not get too jaded here.
Okay.
But the fact that he went to Italy and that was it. I mean, I was expecting Brazil. I was expecting Vegas. I was expecting maybe like Paris or something cool. Like, you know, I want to hear stories about women.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say he hadn't called us in 5 weeks because he was, like, in a remote section of the Amazon.
Out and about.
And he was, like, hunting wild boar or something.
Right.
And that's not the case, unfortunately. So, he's got a lot of work to do. I mean, last year, every week he was somewhere.
That's what I figured, yeah.
All right.
All right, let's shift our attention to the Broncos-Ravens Thursday night matchup. Hopefully you're listening to this show live. Otherwise, you can let us know on Twitter. I'm at Bill Enright. Todd is at CFF Geek. Let us know what our predictions were for the Thursday night game if you're listening to the show on demand via the podcast on the Patriots mobile app. But anyway, Todd, a lot of question marks for the Denver Bronco defense. No Champ Bailey. Von Miller suspended for 6 games, but there's questions for the Broncos passing attack as well. We know that Dennis Pitta is out for the year. Anquan Boldin was traded to the San Francisco 49ers. So it kind of seems like both question marks balance each other out for this matchup.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of intrigue here, especially for those of you listening who are involved in fantasy football, Bill, because the Broncos have so many weapons on offense, and who's getting the ball? Running backs, Monte Ball, the rookie, Ronnie Hillman, the second-year guy out of San Diego State. No Sean Moreno is even lurking around on the depth chart. Who's getting the ball? Who's getting the ball at the goal line? In the passing game, Bill, the Broncos have probably the best triplets in the entire league, in Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, and Wes Welker. You know, how are they going to distribute the ball? You know, are there enough balls to go around? We know that it's going to help Peyton Manning. He's not going to have any issues putting up some big stats. So I'm interested in seeing how the Broncos offense operates with the new weapons that Peyton Manning has at his disposal.
Yeah, and that's going to be certainly an interesting thing because we've seen Wes Welker play with the Patriots for so long. How is he going to be utilized in this Denver Bronco defense? And we're only going to get a small taste of it tonight against the Ravens. We still have a whole season to kind of figure out how it all plays out, how it all worked out for Denver, Welker, and Peyton. But I'm excited to see Peyton back in action from a fantasy football perspective. You know, I love the Broncos offense. I think they're up there with the Pats and the Saints and the Falcons for the most points this year. So I tried to target as many of the Broncos receivers as possible. Demaryius Thomas in a few leagues. I got Eric Decker in a couple leagues. I tended to stay away from the running backs, though, because I think it's just going to be a headache.
I agree. I think I have Ronnie Hillman in one league, but I got him really late, like 13th, 14th round, you know, what the heck type pick. But other than that, I stayed away from Monte Ball. He was going too high in the fantasy drafts. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And people, you know what's going to happen a week from now, Bill, when we're on the air? Everyone's going to be overreacting to what they see in week one. So keep a cool level head when you're watching this transpire tonight, because 1 week does not a season make, right, Bill?
Exactly. If Monte Ball gets the ball 30 times tonight, that doesn't mean that Knowshon Moreno and Ronnie Hillman aren't going to get the ball, you know, 15 to 20 times next week. I think the Broncos are going to use a committee all season.
Yeah, and if Demaryius Thomas only catches four balls for 60 yards, don't panic.
Right. Another interesting thing I'm looking at for tonight's game from a fantasy football angle, Todd, is how the Ravens use Bernard Pierce. For years, Ray Rice has been a top five pick at running back spot. He kind of fell toward the end of the first round this year, and I think a big reason because people aren't sure how much Bernard Pierce is going to be involved, so that's something I'm going to be watching tonight as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, week one, we mentioned it earlier, is there's always a few surprises, right? There's always a few surprises that throw everyone for a loop, and this kind of makes the list of possible surprises is perhaps, just perhaps, Bill, Bernard Pierce sees a bigger workload than we expected. You know, that's just something to keep an eye on. I agree with you 100%. Keep a close eye on that carry distribution for the Ravens.
Emails are flying in, Todd. People want help with their week one lineups. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Let's jump right to the emails now. We have Sean in Maryland, Todd. He needs help with his flex position. He's looking for advice on Darryl Richardson or Mike Wallace.
Flex, Richardson or Wallace? Mike Wallace, Bill. He's one of those guys that I'd rather play wait and see with him. But I'm not really in love with Darryl Richardson either. Is it a PPR?
Doesn't say.
You know, I'm going to go with probably the safer of the two. I'm going to go with Richardson, the running back. All things being equal, I tend to go running backs in the flex position. And like I said, I'd rather see wait and see. Joe Hayden's a pretty good corner. He's going to be blanketing Wallace in that game, Dolphins and Browns. Richardson against Arizona. Arizona's D's not bad, but I'm going to go Richardson there. I don't feel great about it, though.
No Isaiah Pede in this. He's suspended for week one, so I'm going to go with Darryl Richardson as well. One more flex question, Todd. Nathan from Southern California. Eddie Lacy, Shane Vereen, or DeSean Jackson? Don't know if it's a PPR league.
That's the key question. If it's not PPR, I'm going to go DeSean Jackson. I think he's got big upside this week against the Washington Redskins. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Vic is healthy. Jackson is healthy. If he can't produce this week, he's going to have problems producing all year long. But I think he will. I think DeSean Jackson has a big game.
I agree with you on DeSean, but I think if it's a PPR league, I might lean toward Shane Vereen. I'm not playing Eddie Lacy against the San Francisco 49ers, one of the best run defenses in the NFL.
If it's PPR, different story. I think you agree with me. DeSean Jackson, Philadelphia Eagle wide receivers, an excellent play in a non-PPR because he
Big
has
time.
Ridiculous yards per catch. But he's not going to go out there and catch nine balls. You know, he's one of those guys that will catch four or five balls, hope he breaks a big one and gets over 100 yards.
All right, that was for Nathan in Southern California. Todd and I both agree, non-PPR, go DeSean. Otherwise, you might want to go with Shane Vereen. 855-728-7500 is the phone line phone number. Phone lines are open, so if you want to get in touch with us, now is the time to call. Todd and I got to take a quick break. More Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio coming up after this.
Football Nation, there is no off-season.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder wait list and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots Ticket Exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Hey, we're just trying to get by here on Football Nation as we're so excited for week one. We just can't wait for the weekend to get here. Sunday is so stuffed full of great NFL action, Todd. I'm really just amped up. I can't wait for it to come.
It's here, man. You don't have to wait any longer.
Not everything's here yet. We only get one. We just get like a little tease tonight. It's like going to a strip club, and then all of a sudden the girl just like lets down her hair. She doesn't even take our clothes off yet. You know, that's what the Broncos-Ravens game is. Sunday night is when the clothes come off, baby.
Kevin, now would be a good time to insert the Fred, quote.
I think Kevin's sleeping. That's all right, because we got a lot to go to. We got a lot to get to.
Takes me a second to get to it. Sucks.
Todd, you should have reminded me in the first segment. My mind is scattering, is scrambling out of control. I forgot that we're having the Football Nation legal expert on just a little bit later in the show to discuss the concussion settlement with the retired players and the NFL.
Bram Maravent, he knows his stuff, and he's got an interesting take on what's going on. He's going to break it down, Bill, so all of us can understand, because there was a lot of information in that whole settlement. So he'll break it down for us, spend a few minutes on that. That'll be in the second hour of the show.
You know, Bram is a lawyer and a very serious guy. Obviously, he's our legal expert, but I like to make jokes. I like to have some fun when I'm doing the radio show. So last year when we had him on, I started calling him Bram the Lawyer Man. I wasn't really sure if he liked it or not, but I'm going to do it today. Maybe I'll try to sneak it in a couple times. We'll see how he reacts.
He's all business, my friend. Yeah,
I know.
He's all business.
That's why I like getting in there, shaking things up a little bit.
He's quick and to the point. He's kind of like an Adam Schefter. Like he just cuts right to the chase.
Yeah.
All business.
All right, so that's going to be a little bit later in the show. Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts is also going to join us. We're going to talk some quality stats, as we always do with Kerry Byrne. But again, we're sticking with your fantasy advice right now. We want to help you guys win. We want to help you win in week one, and we're doing that by helping you with your week one lineups. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500 is the phone line, where our friend Matt in Central America is on the line right now. What's going on, Matt? How's things going down there in Colombia?
Things are great. Things are great. Weather's great.
I'm glad to hear that. You're in a 10-team, half-a-point PPR league. What's your question?
So I got a defensive question for you. I picked up the Broncos. I picked up the Broncos towards the end, and I know they're playing tonight, and I'm a subscriber, so I'm looking at your CPI list, and they're ranked 13th. And the Buccaneers are on the free agent wire, and I was thinking of dropping the Broncos and picking up the Bucs because they're ranked 7th with a lot higher. They're 88 versus 79. So my question is, do I drop the Broncos, because I get a pretty tough matchup? You never know if, you know, Ray Rice might go off and all that stuff, and pick up the Bucs, and then just, you know, randomly pick up a different defense based on whoever's the best for that available week? Or should I hold on to the Broncos?
You know, Matt, I think the Broncos at the end of the year are going to finish a lot higher than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Without Von Miller, without Champ Bailey, that's why we have them 13th this week, because they have a pretty tough matchup, as you pointed out, against the Ravens. The thing with the Buccaneers, they're playing the Jets. And we saw what Geno Smith did in the preseason, and that was 3 interceptions, and he ran out of the back of the end zone for a safety. We're not at all scared about the New York Jets as an offense. So the Buccaneers are a great play. And to be honest with you, the Bucs were one of my sleeper defenses this year.
Yeah, but Bill, weeks 2 and 3, they got the Saints and Patriots.
Well, can I finish my thought?
No.
What I was going to say is the Bucs are one of my sleeper defenses this year, because I think they improved their secondary with Darrell Revis and Deshaun Golston. But I can't advise you to just play the matchups every single week. I would rather you have a solid defense that I know is going to perform week in and week out, despite who they're playing. So, Todd, now you can jump in and tell him who the Bucs are playing.
You got to make a conscious decision. You know, when I go into every draft, kind of figuring, am I going to take a defense that I can just kind of plug in there and just not worry about all year, or am I going to play down matchups every week? So the Buccaneers, great matchup this week, as you mentioned. Then they got the Saints. Then they got the Patriots. Cardinals, bye week. So 3 of the next 4 weeks,
tough.
You can't play them. You know, after that, by the way, Atlanta, Seattle, Philadelphia. So, you know.
So should I roll the dice with the Broncos then?
Again, it depends on what you want to do. I mean, if you want to play the matchups each and every week.
What Todd's saying is you're not going to use the Bucs ever again after this week.
Pretty much.
Until maybe week six.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you want, if you do end up dropping the Broncos and picking up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just know that you're going to be in the same spot you are this week for week two. Because you're not going to want to play the you're not going to want to use the Bucs against the Saints or the Pats.
So I guess I should probably just roll with the Broncos and see what happens.
Who else is available?
The Cardinals.
I love the Cardinals. Why aren't you picking them up?
Because the Buccaneers were ranked higher for the week. I was just looking at the week matchups.
You know, with defenses, I try not to look at just a week-by-week basis. I love the Cardinals. That's my defense in about three or four of my leagues.
Are the Rams available?
Very opportunistic.
No, the Rams aren't available.
Okay.
Because I looked at them, too. So I could drop the Broncos and pick up the Cardinals and be better off from a season perspective then.
Arizona Cardinals were our preseason 10th-ranked defense. Denver Broncos going down because of the Von Miller suspension. They were our 6th-ranked defense. Pretty close.
Yeah.
I would go with the Cardinals, not the Bucs. Definitely don't go with the Bucs.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Matt. We appreciate the phone call. A little defensive question here, Todd.
Yeah, I don't – unless you have a wacky scoring system – where you get, like, mega points for, like, yards against, points against. Defenses, dude, come on, you know?
Every point matters.
Yeah, there's guys in my league, they'll take Seattle's defense in the 9th round.
Yeah, that's just idiotic. That's just crazy.
No.
Crazy
There's
talk.
Always defenses that'll get on a roll. And it seems like, Bill, it's interesting, because there's a lot of defenses that'll, like, get on a turnover roll, where they'll just get 2-3 a week for the first couple weeks, and it seems to, like, last for a month or two. You know what I mean? So there'll be a team that's ranked in the bottom half of the FFCPI this week, guaranteed, that'll have a big defensive week for the first month, or, you know, a big month of fantasy production. And you just got to see who that is and ride them. That's what I do. I don't usually have a defense, Bill, that I plug in each and every week. I just don't look at it that way.
No, I just hold on to – and you know why? I have a lot of limits about the amount of transactions I can make.
Well,
you
don't want to be – transactions cost money too, so
right, or that, and you don't want to be wasting your transaction dollars on defenses, right? That doesn't make any sense.
No, but in the leagues where I don't have that, then I play the matchups. That's what I'm saying. There's a couple leagues where there are no limitations, so I just roll with it. But hey, one thing: when you introduced that caller to the audience, you said Central America.
Yeah, it was from Columbia.
Columbia-CT.
Oh, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Oh, I misread that.
He's not Pablo Escobar.
Well, I mean, he was... clearly, I was joking, Todd. No one else caught it. It took you 5 minutes to catch on to my joke.
I caught it.
You caught it right away?
I emailed you right away. I put it on the email.
Matt from Connecticut didn't get it.
No, well, no.
That's actually probably not true, because he called up and he was like, "Remember?" I said, he just says Matt in Columbia, and I'm like, Columbia, Missouri, South Carolina... He goes, Connecticut. Remember, I'm the guy they thought was in South America?
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, I remember.
Wait, is it South America or Central America? Or
whatever. You get the point.
I think it's Central. When I went surfing in Costa Rica, they said, don't try to get caught up in the riptide too much. You'll end up in Colombia. So I'm assuming that it's pretty close by to Costa Rica.
Listen to Bill, surfing in Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah. When I was 17, I went there for...
Forget Olivier.
I was 17. I went there for 17 days, a month after I graduated high school, with just two of my friends. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but they let me do it. And this was before Costa Rica was Costa Rica. This was like, you know, you have to bribe the cops. That's another... it's not something I want to get into right
now. You're going down a
difficult path. It is not something I want. Anyway, the point is, if you're going to call us, you have to be quick, because I'm going to throw some jabs at you, and if you don't catch them... Well, you're going to look a little silly. Or maybe I'm going to look silly because you don't catch my jokes. It means they're pretty bad, I guess.
Kevin, you need to find some surfing music. So whenever
come back with some Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah. Whenever he talks about his surfing escapades, you can just plug that in. Background music, you know? This guy surfs all over the place. Now he's surfing. He's going to surf glaciers in Alaska next summer, he said.
Heli skiing. I'm definitely doing that.
Ah, okay.
Before the kids come.
Yeah.
definitely doing that. 855-728-7500. Phone lines are wide open, but the email's jam-packed. Webradio@patriots.com. Let's try to knock some of these off, Todd.
Go for
a lot of flex questions. I'm not sure who this is from. Actually, this might be from Kevin. Kevin, is this question yours?
It is.
You are such a scutch.
He sneaks it in.
I'm looking here. Yeah, he sneaks
it in. We
have
like 30 emails to get to.
And he sends one in. What a scutch. I'm looking for like a name. I'm looking for a name and a location. I don't see it. I'm like, oh, well, I wonder. And then I look at the email address from you.
Listen, I was trying to go through proper protocol instead of commandeering the show.
No, that's fine. That's fine. 10-team league, half a point PPR. It's your keeper league. You have one flex option here. Your choices are Ahmad Bradshaw, D'Angelo Williams, Sidney Rice, Chris Givens, or Ruben Randall, double R, Rough Rider.
PPR or no PPR?
Half a point.
Well, it's Givens or Bradshaw for me.
I agree with that, Todd. I think Ahmad Bradshaw is going to be as healthy as we can assume at this point because he didn't play in the preseason.
And he's playing Oakland.
And he's playing the Raiders. Yeah.
You know?
All the other wide receivers. D'Angelo Williams against the Seahawks, that's no. Sidney Rice against the Carolina Panthers. Rice is pretty hurt right now with an injury. That's a no. To me, it's between Bradshaw, Givens, and Randall, and I tend to lean toward the running back.
Yeah, if it was full-point PPR, I might state the case for Givens, you know?
Right.
But it's not. So I'm going to go with Bradshaw because of the matchup. But, I mean, this is a matchup to die for him. So
that's Bradshaw, what I was leaning toward.
Bradshaw is right in the flex wheelhouse. He's our number 25 running back on ffchamps.com right now.
Yeah.
So that's right in flex territory.
Go Bradshaw.
Yeah, go Bradshaw, Kev. Who else you got?
In terms of the team?
Yeah. No, you pull it up.
No, I got. Let's see. I got. This is the league. It's the two quarterback league.
Okay.
So I got Brady and Flacco, LeSean McCoy, Marshawn Lynch, then the flex spot, which I just told you about. So I'll plug that with Bradshaw. I got Andre Johnson, Danny Amendola, Stevie Johnson, Jason Witten, and then the Colts D and Gostkowski.
You'll be set. You'll be good.
Yeah,
I like that team.
Yeah, it's not a bad team. And then on the bench, like I told you, I have D'Angelo Williams sitting there, Sidney Rice, Chris Givens, Denarius Moore, Kendall Wright, Ruben Randall, and E.J. Manuel as a possible emergency quarterback. Because this league, you know, these leagues where it's mandatory you start two quarterbacks, and if you have more than like eight teams, if you have 10 or 12 teams, all the quarterbacks get taken up in 10 seconds.
Of course.
And people hoard them, so if one of your quarterbacks gets hurt and you go to the waiver wire, there could be nobody that's playing, so you could end up with a zero that week.
Yep.
So that's how they strategize. So I felt it was important to just grab somebody who I thought was going to play off the waiver wire.
Olivier just sent us a message on from his BlackBerry. He says, Colombia is in South America, not Central America. No wonder why no one got my joke. I had the wrong...
Didn't I say South America?
I had the wrong continent.
I'm pretty sure I said South America.
Yeah, Bill said Central America.
Yeah.
Shock.
Bill's wrong again. What else is new?
What do you mean I'm wrong again? I'm wrong when it comes to geography. It's not a big deal.
Oh, no! Shock again!
Where is that from? Waterboy?
Waterboy.
Yeah, I knew it.
Get to some more emails, Bill.
Josh from Charlottesville says, thanks for helping me out with his big cash league. He's loving the site. Good work. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. Thank you, Josh. We appreciate that. There you go. He's got some question about his lineup, Todd. He doesn't want to use both Patriots running backs. Right now, Stephen Ridley locked and loaded in as his RB2 to go along with LeSean McCoy. Love that combo. But he has Shane Vereen in the flex. What do you think about using both of the Patriot running backs this week?
Well, if there was ever a week to do it, it would be this week, wouldn't it?
Against the Buffalo Bills, I can't argue with that.
I mean, I hear what he's coming from. It's not what you want. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth, you know, having two running backs on the same team in your starting fantasy lineup. But if there's ever a week to do it, it's this week. But moving forward, Bill, this is kind of a headache for him. I mean, we like both of them. I just don't like them both together.
His
a lot
only
of eggs in one basket.
Right, I hear you. And his only other option for the flex this week would be Vincent Jackson or Torrey Smith. V-Jack's on the bench? I don't know if you can do that. V-Jack's or Vereen? Let's knock out Torrey Smith, just for the sake of argument here. V-Jack's or Vereen? Right now, Vincent Jackson, my number 12 wide receiver, He has DeSean Jackson, and I have Vincent Jackson ranked over V-Jax. It's got Demaryius Thomas, so I'm not putting in Torrey Smith. To me, it's between Ridley, or excuse me, it's between Vereen and Vincent Jackson.
Is it PPR?
Does not say, I don't believe.
That's tough, man. That's really tough. I mean, the Jets, I don't think the Tampa Bay is going to score like a million points on the Jets' D. You know?
No, I can't. I don't see that as a high-scoring game, but I do think Vincent Jackson is going to get some action.
Of course.
If this is the week, you said it in the beginning, Todd. Let's stick with that. If this is the week to use both Patriot running backs, go with Steven Ridley and Shane Vereen this week against the Buffalo Bills. I'm expecting a lot of points from the Pats.
I think they're going to score. Yeah, we're going to do our score predictions, I'm sure, at some point during the show. But I think they're going to score in excess of 30 points. So I'd go with Vereen.
Matt at SDSU is our next emailer. He's got a sense of humor. Hey, guys, in the words of Ben Franklin, quote, I don't know who to start, end quote. This is a 10-team standard scoring league. Needs to put two of these wide receivers and one flex into his lineup. So let's start off with the wide receivers. I need to put two of these guys in a starting wide receiver. So we can start with the wide receivers, Todd.
Okay.
Cecil Shorts, Randall Cobb, Kenbrell Tompkins, Pierre Garçon, Reggie Wayne. Standard scoring league.
Two of them?
Two of them.
All right, Garçon. Tompkins and Shorts are out. So it's Cobb, Garçon, or Reggie Wayne.
Yeah.
Those are the three.
Cobb, Garçon, Wayne.
And scoring system was?
Standard. Wayne is out. Cobb and Garçon are in. Now, we can still bring Wayne back for the flex. Hold on a second here. But we agree. Cobb and Garçon in the starting lineup for the receiver.
Wayne against Oakland?
Not PPR. He'll have 80 catches and 60 yards.
Okay, I'm with you.
For the flex. Now, we can put him back into the flex. Lamar Miller, Darrell Richardson, or Reggie Wayne? Non-PPR. Lamar Miller takes on the Cleveland Browns. Darrell Richardson's playing the Arizona Cardinals, and you mentioned Reggie Wayne taking on the Oakland Raiders.
I kind of like Reggie Wayne against the Raiders, man.
Oh, see, I like Lamar Miller.
I'm a little worried about Lamar Miller. I've got him in a bunch of leagues. I'm a little worried about him.
You like Wayne just because of the matchup?
The Raiders.
They're so bad.
At home. I like Reggie Wayne. I put him in.
All right, Reggie Wayne. Listen, Matt. Matt from SDSU. You got a tough decision here. I'm saying Lamar Miller. Todd's saying Reggie Wayne. We don't agree on everything. Pick your favorite host, and that's what you should go with.
Bill, Lamar Miller has been every week we talk about him like he's won the job. He hasn't won the job.
I know.
Randall Thomas, you know, I kind of want to wait and see. You know Reggie Wayne's going to catch six or seven balls, 80, 90 yards, probably a touchdown. I don't know. That's where I'm going with this. Week one, I'm going to go there. I'm not going to go Lamar Miller yet. If Lamar Miller has a breakout game, then I apologize to the emailer. That's what I'm going to do.
Moving on to Mark in Ontario has a question about his wide receiver, too. Right now, it's between Pierre Garçon and Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's leaning towards Garçon. Both of us agree with that. We're expecting Pierre to have big game against the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday night.
The Eagles stink. Garcon's healthy. Remember what he did prior to getting injured in the first game last year with Robert Griffin III. He could throw the deep ball, deep threat, perfect marriage. Go with Garçon.
Next emailer is Ryan, and he needs help. A lot of flex questions, Todd, today. That's good. When we get a lot of flex questions, you know what that means? It means people's starting lineup is set. They have their wide receivers, their first and second wide receivers. They have their first and second running back. So when we're getting these flex questions, that means people did a good job drafting. Ryan asks, which player should he put in his flex spot? Giovanni Bernard or Kenbrell Tompkins for week one?
Another good question. I kind of like them both. Was it PPR? Non-PPR. Non-PPR, right?
Non-PPR, standard league.
Man, first of all, keep an eye on the Amendola situation. We think he'll be all right, but if he's not for some reason, Tompkins is the play.
And then you put him, right.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
I've just got a feeling about Gio Bernard. I know that's a terrible way to make decisions, Bill. I just think Giovanni Bernard is I like him. I like him a lot. So,
against the Bears this week?
I like him. I don't, what can I say? I think he's going to take one to the house.
All right.
Non-PPR.
Non-PPR league. You're not going with Miller again. You're putting
Miller.
I
thought you said it was Tompkins or Gio.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry. Bernard or Tompkins. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
No, if
I'm
it's Lamar Miller, I go Miller over Gio.
It's not. It's not. I made a mistake. My bad. All right.
I'm going running back.
I'm with you. I'm with you on Gio.
Okay.
He also wants us to give us his give him our FF champs grade on his team, so we'll quickly do that for him.
Sure.
Our guy Ryan. Matt Stafford's his quarterback. AJ Green and Dwayne Bowe are his wide receivers. Doug Martin, MJD at running back, and then again he has Gio Bernard, Aaron Dobson, Chris Givens, Tavon Austin, Zach Sudfeld, and Kembrell Tompkins as his flex spots for the bench. Tony Gonzalez is in at tight end. I don't know if you want Dobson and Tompkins. You might want.
Yeah, I don't understand is he only has one running back on his bench.
Yeah,
I would
Bernard.
Get rid of Dobson probably. He's got a
and
lot of
Sudfeld.
Patriots on his bench, doesn't he?
And Sudfeld.
You got to get another running back in there, man.
I would try to trade Tompkins and Dobson with Sudfeld, or Dobson and Sudfeld. One of those two. Tompkins and Sudfeld, Dobson and Sudfeld, and get an upgrade at running back. Listen, the person who has Rob Gronkowski wants Zach Sudfeld on his team because he knows that when Gronk is not playing, at least he'll have the opportunity to start Sudfeld. Our guy Ryan here has Tony Gonzalez on his roster already. He doesn't need Sudfeld. Dump Sudfeld and dump Dobson, or dump Sudfeld and dump Tompkins in a trade, upgrade at running back. That's a smart move to do.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. We have a okay. Keegan from Texas writing in for the first time. Big fan, podcast listener, fantasy question for you. If you don't know, you're still talking fantasy. Yes, we are. You're all good. All right. First team is a 12-team no PPR. He doesn't know. I don't own. Oh, here's his question. All right. I don't own any – some of these emails, I mean, they're poorly worded, spelling errors, formatting incorrectly. Very tough for me to do. I don't own either of my handcuffs. Helu was taken way too early. Charles Handcuff is a free agent. Should I drop someone to go and get him? All right, so he has Jamal Charles on his team, Todd. How important is it for him to grab Niall Davis?
I'm looking at who he could drop.
He can drop Josh Freeman. He can drop Denarius Moore. He can drop. I would drop Rashad Mendenhall, but you can't do that in a 12-team league. I would drop Josh Freeman. You got Tony Romo, or drop Denarius Moore. No one's going to go pick up Denarius Moore. His wide receivers are loaded. Demaryius Thomas, Roddy White, James Jones, Mike Williams. Drop,
yes.
Dude. Drop Denarius.
Drop
Moore.
Denarius Moore.
Go get Miles Davis.
Yeah, you kind of. You might want to hang on to Freeman because you don't know how many quarterbacks are available in a 12-team league.
Yeah.
You know, even though he's not a great one, I would do that. I would do it. Team grade, I'm looking at his team here. He's got Romo at quarterback. He's got Charles and Alfred Morris, Vereen in the flex, DT at wide receiver, Demaryius Thomas, Roddy White, Vernon Davis, Patriots. I like this team. B+.
B+? All right. Solid. 12-team league. Very impressive, actually.
Yes.
Very impressive. Let's go to Dan in Virginia before we take a break here. He's in a 10-team standard league. What's going on, Dan? Thanks for calling into Football Nation.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I just wanted to run my lineup by you and ask a couple of questions as to whether or not I should do a little free agent hunting.
Okay.
My team, in order of how they were drafted, was Alfred Morris, Stevon Ridley, Tom Brady, Mojo,
MJD?
MJD.
MJD. I knew I had the nickname wrong. Torrey Smith, Lamar Miller, Jordy Nelson, Mike Williams, the Bengals defense, Dawson as the kicker, Jermaine Gresham, Jaquizz Rodgers, Carson Palmer, Emmanuel Sanders, and Zach Sudfeld. I was wondering if I should go for another backup QB. I picked Palmer because I figure he's going to do better in Arizona than the last couple of years, but Flacco, Bradford, Chubb, and Rivers are all still out there in my league. And the other question is, I think I'm pretty set for running backs and a team in general. My wide receivers, though, are solid but not outstanding. And I'm just wondering if you think I should, like, again, they were I've got Torrey Smith, Jordy Nelson, Mike Williams, and Emmanuel Sanders, and some of the other guys that are out there include Broyles, Cribbs and Dobson, and Malcolm Floyd. And I was also wondering if I should dump Jaquez Rogers for somebody else.
Dan, let me stop you here. Dan, you're rambling. We're all over the place here. We will help you question by question. Let's start from the beginning.
Let's start from the beginning here.
Hold on, Todd.
Okay, you go.
Dan, all right. Are you from Australia?
Yes, I am.
I knew it. All right. I knew it. Love the accent. All right, now go on, Todd. Now, what's two?
That was one, huh?
That was one, yep.
Okay, that was one. He has Tom Brady. He's asking if he should pick up another quarterback. The Patriots don't have a bye until week 10.
No, I've got a backup. It's Carson Palmer, and I'm wondering if I should dump him for Flacco.
No, Flacco, Schaub, or no, just keep him. It's fine.
Okay, good. That's what I thought.
All right, next question.
Next question. I've got my receivers are Torrey Smith, Jordy Nelson, Mike Williams, and Emmanuel Sanders, which are it's a solid group but not outstanding. Some of the other options that are out there are Broyles, Cribbs, and Dobson. I'm just wondering if you think I should.
I don't even think Josh Cribbs is on an NFL team right now.
I like the four that he has.
I like the four that you have, too.
Okay, good.
Solid. And then last question involved Jaquez Rogers.
Yeah, whether I should. It was kind of there, and I'm kind of wondering if Steven Jackson's going to make it all the way through the season. But I don't know if you think there's a more valuable pick out there. Bell from the Lions is out there.
Drake Bell. Do you have Steven Jackson?
No, I do not.
Do you think the person with him is interested in trading?
To be honest, I really don't know. I don't know how engaged this group is in this league. Like one guy picked Darrell Richardson in the first round.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah, and someone picked up Terrell Pryor as their backup QB, so that gives you an idea of how engaged this group is.
I think you'll be all right, Dan. Based with those jokers in your league, you'll be all right, dude.
Cool. And so that's all definite stuff for this week?
Absolutely. As long as Rob Gronkowski is out of action, Zach Sudfeld's going to be in my lineup.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your help, guys. Appreciate
Get on you, mate. All right, take care.
Thanks.
It's very important to establish the accent, Todd. We have to do that right from the start, from the get-go.
So is Australia in South America or Central America?
Australia is in its own continent. I went there one time for a snowboarding trip. And when I tell you...
Like, you're name-dropping all these locations you've been.
When I went there, I'm telling you, I got so messed up on the flight down. It was surreal. I felt like I was in Oz when I landed.
What, too much Goldschlager on the way down?
It was crazy, dude. I took a lot of pills. I had a lot of drinks. And I woke up...
Where the hell is this coming from?
I swear to God, I thought I was in, like... Because I hate flying. So I had to fly to I was either flying from L.A. or San Fran. I had to fly
on line one.
From East Coast to L.A., and then from L.A. to Australia. I'm not saying I took, like, illegal medication. I took, like, an Ambien. I took, like...
I thought you were taking, like, ecstasy or something.
No, come on. Relax, guys. I was taking, like, something to make me relax. I took, like, an Ambien. I took a Xanax. And I had a lot of drinks.
That's quite a cocktail, man.
Yeah, it was.
It was straight from like the Lindsay Lohan cookbook.
When I landed, I'm telling you, I felt like it was in a dream world. And you know how like in U.S. Customs they have like legit dogs to do like the sniff around for your bags when you're going through customs.
All right.
Australian airport had like little Wishbone dogs. Kevin, you remember that show Wishbone?
I remember Wishbone.
That's the kind of dog they had sniffing everyone's bags.
What's like the story, Wishbone?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of dog he is, but it was just very crazy. And anyway, Australia,
There's
good
no
people.
Hope with Joe.
Yeah. I once hit on an Olympic snowboarder from Australia. She was a gold medalist.
She wasn't digging your vibe?
No, she was definitely digging my vibe, but I almost got fired for it. That was at my previous job. I should write a book about my life.
Kevin, we're learning a lot about Bill today.
Yeah, we should have like a 5-minute segment of every show where Bill just tells us his inner secrets.
Well, that's my inner secret.
His dark demons.
That's my inner secret for today.
From his pill popping days.
That was my trip to Australia. I wasn't popping.
You were just gonna say that was your strip club story.
No. That was my trip to Australia story.
A little Freudian slip there.
Xanax and Ambien, not a good combination when you're drinking on a plane, and you have a fear of flying. And you're on a plane for 20 hours. That's right. When we come back, Harry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts will join us. We got to take a quick break here on Football Nation. But Harry Byrne, Cold Hard Football Facts, that's all coming up next on Patriots.com Radio.
You want to get high? You want to get high?
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. You're as cold as ice.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the cold, hard football facts right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you. And we are pleased to be joined by Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. What's up, Kerry? Sorry for keeping you on hold that long. Kerry, I didn't mean to keep you on hold for that long, but we had to take a break, and I got caught up telling everyone stories about my flight to Australia, which
no,
I don't suggest
you,
I'll ever do again.
I used to travel a lot, and I love to travel. I don't like to fly, and I would do similar things to bide my time on the air. A few drinks, a couple pills, and next thing you know, you wake up in Munich, and everything's good, you know?
Yeah, I'm a very big-time fear of flying, so I'm with you, Kerry. I'd rather...
Hey, you know what, one time, not, you know, maybe nobody cares, but in my younger, wilder, skinnier days, I had a chance to join the Mile High Club with the stewardess on a flight from Chicago back to Boston.
Come on.
There was not many people on the flight. I was sitting at the back. She suddenly needed a back rub, and... you know
what?
Yeah, true story. Absolutely true.
Really?
Story. Stewardess needed a back rub?
It didn't get beyond that, but she gave me her card. I said, "What do you guys do when you're in town?" She goes, "We party. That's what we like to do." And I said, "Okay."
My best friend ended up marrying a stewardess that he met on the plane.
Really? No.
Yeah.
Kidding. Yeah. Yeah. No, she wasn't looking to get married. Trust me.
No. I'm sure. I bet she parties. I mean, you think about it. They're only in town for a couple days. It's like a perfect little...
Yeah, you know, that's what they do. That's exactly. I remember I can still picture the saying. I said, "What do you guys do when you're in town?" "We party." I said, "All right."
That's great.
Yeah, she totally let her guard down. It was all good. So anyway, let's talk some football, man. What's going on?
Kerry, week one, NFL season 2013 kickoff. It starts tonight. Denver Broncos versus the Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, the Ravens trying to defend their Super Bowl title. But let's look ahead to week one Sunday. The action on Sunday, I think it's jam-packed. We got some great matchups. Saints versus the New Orleans Saints versus the Falcons, pretty even matchup. But what about some of the lopsided matchups, specifically the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills, the biggest point spread of the week?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that one. Obviously, Patriots fans very interested. And listen, guys, generally speaking, right, I mean, you don't like to chase points, right? The Patriots are giving 10. That's a big number in the NFL, right? 51-52% of all NFL games are decided by a touchdown and conversion or less, 8 points or less. So this is outside that realm. Plus being week one, right? How many times have we gone into week one and we don't know who the good teams are, right? We know what they did last year, and that's what we can base it on. We can make assumptions about their moves in the offseason, but we don't really know what's going to happen until you know, the football starts flying in anger, right, on the field. With that said, so I understand all the reasons that you might be worried looking at, you know, given 10 points, but, guys, this is not only the most lopsided rivalry in football right now, but maybe the most lopsided rivalry of all time. We ran some numbers, especially with that real and spectacular pick at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider at our premium product. The Patriots, everyone and every Patriots fan remembers the infamous 31-0 loss to the Bills in 2003 in the Loy Malloy game.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? Remember the Tom Jackson, they hate their coach game, right? Since then, the Patriots are not only 18-1 against the Bills, they've won by an average score of 32-15. Not only that, they're even better in Buffalo. They suffered one loss in Buffalo, in fact. The one loss came in Buffalo. But the average score of the Patriots at Buffalo since 2003, guys, 33-13. The Patriots win on average by 20 points in Buffalo over the past decade. Like we say, probably one of the most lopsided rivalries in all of pro football history. It's more like Nebraska versus Iowa State back in the old Big 8 days.
Wow.
I like the college football reference there.
Yeah, Tom loves that.
And the old Big 8, too. Remember that, Todd?
The Big 8.
So
yes.
Even this, okay, even at minus 10 over those 19 games, the Patriots, if every game was minus 10, the Patriots would be 11-7-1 against the spread in those 19 games. So if there's a game, and, you know, coupled with the fact, the Bills had a terrible defense last year, guys. One of the worst defenses in franchise history, if not the worst. They were 32nd on our defensive hog index. Their defensive front is terrible. The Patriots are number 2 in what we call rusher rating, the second most effective rushing team in football. It's not only a mismatch Tom Brady versus E.J. Manuel, it's a mismatch the Patriots running game, very effective, more effective than people realize against one of the worst defensive fronts in football, at least it was last year. You got a rookie head coach, a rookie quarterback going against Belichick Brady. If ever I think you got to, you know, swing big in a week one game. This is the game to do it, guys.
I'm looking at the season openers for the Patriots the last 3 years, Kerry, and I'm sure you're already aware of this. They've won by 21, 14, and 14 last 3 years, season openers.
Yeah, there you go. It's very unusual in pro football for one team to be so dominant over an entire decade. It's not just recently, it's an entire decade. Now, the Bills made a game of it once last year, but, you know, still, they lost both games. And
Kerry,
they're
trotting out
game,
a rookie
Patriots,
quarterback, Kerry. They're trotting out a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill, seriously, I mean.
No contest.
I just don't see this being close at all. I think the Patriots are going to score somewhere in the 30s, Bill. So can the Bills score in the 20s?
Isn't Jarius Bird out too?
He might be.
Well, you know, he's making a lot of noise. He wants to be traded, guys. When you're a top defender.
He's out. I think he's out.
When your top defender wants to be traded at the start of the season, that's not a good sign, guys. I mean, and I want to give the new coach, Doug Marone, give him some space. He could prove to be a great coach. 2 years ago, nobody thought Jim Harbaugh on the 49ers would be a good team, right? And he turned around that team instantly. Great coaching means everything in the NFL. So there's more than there's a puncher's chance that, you know, Buffalo can keep it close and improve and finally get over the hump they've been trying to get over since the Jim Kelly days.
So, Kerry.
But I wouldn't count on it.
I'm looking at coldhardfootballfacts.com. I am an insider, all right? I'm looking at the breakdown. You got this killer chart. Well, there's 22, I believe it's 22, quality stats, correct?
Yep.
Why don't you tell the good people how many of those quality stats the Patriots have the advantage in?
20 of 22. Dominant, up and down. I mean, they were better than the Bills at everything last year. It's simple as that. And these aren't and these aren't just ordinary stats like total, you know, rushing yards and things
right.
like that really don't correlate to victory, guys. These are all, you know, the foundation of our insider product, our quality stats, each of which has a direct correlation to winning football games. That's the key. We look only at the stats that win and lose games at the end of the day. And so those 22 indicators are all key indicators. And, you know, listen, it's still the NFL. Strange things have happened. But when you're better than another team in 20 of 22 indicators, that doesn't happen too often in the NFL. And that's
right.
It's just stunning how badly the Bills have struggled for so long. You know, it's just, guys, we all know the NFL is all about the quarterback, right? When you have a better quarterback, you usually win. The Bills have not had a good quarterback in, you know, how many years now are we talking? 14, 15?
Jim Kelly's their last
quarterback. That's really what it comes down to.
Doug Flutie?
Jim Kelly,
yeah, Doug
man.
Flutie, you know, we call it, and this is kind of, it's tongue-in-cheek, but it's not. We've written a lot about this. The curse of Doug Flutie.
Yeah,
and people, you know, Patriots fans, because they all followed Flutie, all know the story.
Sure,
you know, and everyone remembers it, right? In 1999, the Bills were 10-5, destined for the playoffs. Wade Phillips, then the Buffalo Bills coach, benched Doug Flutie for the final regular season game in the interest of sitting him. Rob
right.
Johnson comes in, plays well. Phillips gives him the start. They lose that game in crushing, humiliating fashion in the playoffs against the Tennessee Titans. That team has never been back to the playoffs, guys. That was the last time they went to the playoffs. We call it the curse of Doug Flutie. And it's haunted Wade Phillips wherever he's gone, quite frankly. We've written a lot. It's actually, if you go to Code House Football Facts, Google or search on the site Curse of Doug Flutie, it's pretty amazing how every team Wade Phillips has been with since then has suffered some sort of crushing, humiliating end to their season. You know, much like with the Texans. He's a defensive coordinator in Houston. They were a great team, and then they lose their quarterback, Matt Schaub, with, you know, 5-6 games left in the year. It ruined their Super Bowl hopes. Last year, Brian Cushing gets injured. The Texans get crushed by the Patriots twice in Foxborough. They were 11-1, the best team in football. And again, another season with Wade Phillips on the team ended in humiliating fashion. He should have played Doug Flutie in that playoff game, guys, and things would have been much better for the Bills than for Wade Phillips.
Kerry, you know, we always kind of like to have some fun with Super Bowl predictions before we get into the regular season. So as we are heading into week one of the 2013 NFL season, I want Kevin to make sure that he's recording.
Uh-oh.
I want to make sure that we're writing this down because I want to do our Super Bowl predictions for the Super Bowl 48. We'll let you start off, Todd. Kerry, we'll let you start off. Then we'll go to Kevin, then Todd, and I'll go last.
All right, Kevin gets a vote here, huh?
Yeah, we like to bring in Kevin once in a while.
Oh, he is.
We like to bring in Kevin.
Okay,
we need some entertainment. We bring in Kevin for his picks.
Well, guys, we got the team that I think what's out in the AFC. I really like the Patriots, guys. I think all the drama of the offseason, obviously the attrition in the receiving core, we all know that. But at the end of the day, they're still one of the best quarterbacks in football. They have a lot of young defenders. I think that defense can really improve, get to where it needs to be. And I wonder, you know, look around the AFC, who else worries you in the AFC? Denver, but we all know that a Peyton Manning team is going to underperform in the playoffs. That's what they do. Houston, Matt Schaub's not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Cincinnati, people are hot on, but Dalton, you know, he was number 15 or 16 in real quarterback rating last year, the last 2 years. He's not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. That to me, you know, and then Baltimore, obviously the defending champs. We know the issues in Baltimore that have been well told all offseason with the losses they've had. I think, you know, the Patriots have as good a shot as anybody, guys, and they've done it before. The Tom Brady legacy, going to Super Bowl number 6, would set him apart from any other quarterback in the history of football. I think they really have, this is the year they can get it done, and especially in a year where the AFC is on a bit of a downswing. It really is. The power is, the NFC has been ascendant. In the NFC, I really like the Seahawks, guys. They do everything well. Top defense in football, great young quarterback. And by the way, the smartest team in football on what we call our intelligence index, which later on I have to tell you listeners about, because that's really critical to on-field success.
Kerry, when you say the Seahawks are your favorite for the Super Bowl this year in the NFC, you were on their bandwagon early last year, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, when you look at certain numbers, certain efficiency numbers that we look at, the teams that are on the rise always imprint their statistical signature on the game before the public takes notice. It always happens. It was San Francisco in 2011, where in week 7 we declared them the best coach team in football.
Wow.
In 2011. We did the same thing last year around week 7, week 8, and how Russell Wilson was the best rookie quarterback in football, or certainly better than Andrew Luck. And by the way, people around Boston, you know, Patriots fans kind of still poke fun at Pete Carroll, the Seahawks coach, but they were the best, most well-coached team in football last year. Number 1 in the NFL, one spot ahead of the Patriots. We know the Patriots are always well-coached. The top most well-coached team in football, the most efficient, most effective team in situational football were the Seattle Seahawks. Pete Carroll's a good coach, guys. He's doing a great job there.
All right, so Kerry likes the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl. Kevin, who do you like in the Super Bowl, real quick?
I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers.
Interesting, because one of those teams I have as well. Todd, who do you got?
It's bad radio, but I'm agreeing with Kerry. I think it's Seattle's going to get home field advantage. No one's beating them out there. And the Patriots, it's kind of like Kerry said, who else scares you in the AFC outside of Denver? Nobody. If everyone's healthy, if Gronk is back, Patriots, Broncos, I'm not betting on Peyton Manning in the playoffs. He fails all the time, and Tom Brady will get him through. It'll be Brady versus Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks.
Ew. All right, Kevin, I'm with you with the Denver Broncos representing the AFC. I have the Atlanta Falcons winning the NFC. So Kevin and I at least have one team correct. Todd and Kerry have both teams. Kevin, who are you picking to win?
Ooh, it's a tough one. I'm
49ers or Broncos?
I'm going to go with 49ers.
I'm going to go with the Broncos. Kevin, Kerry, who are you picking to win?
Seattle.
All right, Todd, who are you picking to win?
In the last championship of this run, Tom Brady hoists the Lombardi Trophy for the final time.
Final time for Brady.
They win
and
it all. And I'm not just saying that because we're on Patriots.com radio. We do other spots, and this is my prediction. The Patriots win it for the final time with a Belichick-Tom Brady duo.
All right, Kerry, let's get back to that. What do you call it? I was going to call it the dumb index. I know that's not what it's called. The intelligence index?
We call it the intelligent index. What it is, guys, is a measure of how well teams play in situational football. And it's valuable not only to pick winners and losers on Sunday, but, you know, a lot of football fans might want to know who's going to win against the spread, right? There's a lot of fans who want to know. Well, if you're looking for a way to analyze teams that nobody else is looking at that yields victories against the spread, look at this, what we call the intelligence index. And what it does, it basically compares your offensive efficiency to your defensive efficiency in all different phases of the game, guys, and tells us who is the most efficient, most well-coached team in football, who plays the best in situational football. And why this is critical is because dumb teams, guys, are often very talented but do stupid things, and they're overvalued by people who wager on football games. And the prime example last year were the Philadelphia Eagles. Everyone said all season, they're a talented team, they're a talented team. Week after week, they made critical mistakes, turnovers, poor red zone play, critical penalties, special teams gaffes. As a result, they were the dumbest team in football, guys. They also went 3-12-1 against the spread. They were habitually overvalued because people looked at their physical prowess and ignored their mental prowess. Our intelligence index is the only stat in football, as far as I know, that looks at the mental capabilities of every single team in football and spits it out in an easy-to-follow number. In, you know, the top smart, the smartest teams, Seattle, New England, the dumbest teams, Kansas City, Philadelphia, Oakland, Detroit, Jacksonville. Guys, the four dumbest teams in football last year went 19-44-1 against the spread, 30% against the spread.
Wow.
They lose, you know, you wager against them, you're gonna win, guys. It's simple as that. And the top, and by the way, over the last 4 years, the 10 dumbest teams in football are 33% against the spread.
Kerry, you said that the Patriots and the Seahawks were the top two teams for the smartest teams on the intelligence index. So that was your Super Bowl prediction. That was Kerry's or Todd's Super Bowl prediction. What about the Niners and the Falcons? That's who Kevin and I picked. Where did they rank on this intelligence
index?
Atlanta
was number three. They were one of the smartest teams in football.
All right.
Well,
good pick. Good pick, Bill Enright. All right, baby.
And San Francisco, guys, number eight, the number eight most smart, you know, smartest team in football in 2012. And by the way, they were number one in 2011, their breakout season under Jim Harbaugh. And by the way, we're tracking this at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider, guys. If I could give a little plug, if folks want to go to coldhardfootballfacts.com and click the Insider button, we're going to be tracking this intelligence index all season long, every week, and it's going to yield some pretty amazing results. Studying teams, team intelligence in a way that nobody else is doing it, guys. Don't just look at the team's physical prowess, look at their mental prowess, and we have it at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider.
All right, Kerry, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you joining us today on Patriots.com Radio. We know you're all pumped up for week one. Have fun and enjoy all the games this weekend.
All right, guys, I appreciate the time. Have a good day, and we'll revisit those predictions in January.
I can't wait.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bill, let's make sure that, or let's hope that your Super Bowl prediction goes better than last year when you picked the Carolina Panthers to represent the NFC.
Yeah, well, what was wrong with that? They made it. Oh. Must have been my fantasy team.
Bill went safer this year.
Falcons, yeah. I have some bold predictions. I don't know if we're going to get to them later in the show or not. I do have some bold predictions, one of which I don't think the Seahawks are going to make the playoffs. And Todd and Kerry.
Why don't we just say what they are, Bill? Just really quick before the break. Bold predictions. Bill has the Seahawks out of the playoffs. Bill has the 2-14 Chiefs in the playoffs in the AFC. And he has the 4-12 Lions in the playoffs in the NFC.
To win the NFC North.
Yeah, he's got the Lions in the playoffs and the Seahawks out, and he's got the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yep.
So there you go.
Not only do I have the Lions in the playoffs, I have them winning the NFC North.
Okay. Hopefully that means good things for Reggie Bush and Megatron, who are on my fantasy team.
All right, so that was Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. His predictions, his analysis, obviously much better than mine when it comes to predicting winners of football games. Fantasy football advice, I'm great at doing that. That's what you should stick to FFChamps.com for. But whenever you want to know who's going to win or lose football games, maybe you're in a survivor pool, ColdHardFootballFacts.com is the site to check out. Todd, Bram Maravent, our Football Nation legal expert, is going to join us in the next segment. What are we talking about? The NFL concussion settlement, correct?
Yeah, he has a way of breaking things down so people like you, meatheads like you, can understand it.
I like that. Bram the Lawyer Man joins us next. You're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com Radio.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful.
Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Files available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
With power comes responsibility, and NRG has taken that responsibility to new heights by evolving the way sustainable energy is discussed and used in the 21st century. With 3,000 state-of-the-art solar panels installed at Patriot Place, we've transformed the open-air retail complex next to Gillette Stadium into a visually stunning, self-sustaining destination that generates 60% of its own power. NRG is proud to be the official energy provider for Patriot Place, Gillette Stadium, and the New England Revolution.
Welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries, our producer Kevin Collins. Moving along here as we're heading in to week one. If you're listening to us live, you know the Broncos and the Ravens are kicking off in just a few hours, just a few days away from the first 2013 Sunday action of the NFL. But before we get into some more of the game previews and stuff, Todd, we like to bring in our Football Nation legal expert, Bram Maravent, who helped us out with the CBA back when their NFL players and the owners had a lockout. He helped us out last year when the referees and the replacement refs and that whole catastrophe. So Bram is a lawyer, legal expert. He writes for footballnation.com, and we always like to get his opinion on anything involving any lawsuit or legal matters. And obviously, big legal matter, just a couple weeks ago, the NFL had a settlement with retired players for $760 million for the concussion settlement, as it's pretty much known by now. So we'd like to welcome in Brant to our Football Nation radio show on Patriots.com. Brant, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Bram. The reason we bring you in is because my meathead co-host Bill, he has a hard time breaking these things down, making it so we can understand what happened here. Okay, you know, the timing is interesting because it's right before the kickoff of the season. A lot of people pushed it to the side and said, "I don't want to deal with this. You know, I just want to see some football games." So, Bram, break it down for us. What happened in the settlement? Who's getting the money? How much money's going for each of these players and families? What's the lowdown here?
Okay. It starts with the big number, $765 million, which is being paid over a certain period of time by the NFL to the 4,800 plus plaintiffs, the class plaintiffs, okay? Now, the way that the money's going to be divvied out, first of all, is half of it's being divvied out over the first 3 years of the settlement, with the remaining 50% to be divided out or handed out over the next 17 years after that. So this is a 20-year payout schedule, okay?
Right.
In addition to this, let's talk about the 765 first, okay? Then we can talk about all the other extra parts of the settlement and the things that people aren't talking about also. So the way that the money's going to be paid out to players is according to seriousness of injury. There are caps. So, for example, I think you can get no more than $5 million if you have, like, ALS or dementia or something along those lines. There's $4 million for certain levels of injuries and $3 million. And then there are, you know, those who just don't have those kinds of issues are probably going to get less.
And so, well, I mean, Bram, I mean,
the most serious injury, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you do the quick math, okay, I know there's a lot more to it than this, but if you divide out that big giant number, $675 million, I think, is being compensated to the former players, divided by the 4,500, I mean, that amount only comes out to like 150 grand per plaintiff, correct?
Yes, that's good math. That's right.
Okay.
Well, good thing Todd did that, because I would not have been able to handle it.
I mean, that just doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, it's probably not a lot. But here's the thing. You have folks who are, they're literally dying right now. Okay? There are people like Kevin Turner who have serious brain problems. He's got ALS. He's not going to be around for a very long period of time. It's very important for somebody like him to be compensated now. There are people with heavy medical bills who need to be compensated now. So you make this trade-off, right? You say to yourself, or the group says to itself collectively, all right, we've got 4,800 plaintiffs. 1,000 of them are really in a bad way. Or there may be more, there may be less. I don't know. I'm making a number up. And you say to yourself, okay, how can we help these people now? The NFL comes and they put a number, to the group. And so the group says, okay, you know, they think about it and they say, you know, but we're going to help these guys now. Some of us may get short shrift later, but those of us who are going to get help now, those of us in this group who need help now, will get it now.
Right.
So, you know, that's the trade-off here with the 765.
Let me ask you this. Was there, I've seen some articles, was there a number that they were actually looking for? I'd heard rumors that they were hoping for something closer to $2 billion. What's the scoop on that? Is that accurate? Did they not get, you know, the number they were looking for, or is that just kind of internet rumor?
No, I mean, well, you know, I wasn't in the room negotiating or anything, but there were stories that said if you asked an insurance company or those who were involved in insuring the matter what they were looking to possibly be on the hook for. And they were saying anywhere from $1 to $2 billion. Okay, so when you say 765 versus $1 to possibly $2 billion, that doesn't sound like a lot. And that's where we get to the other numbers. If you want to talk about those,
sure.
Okay, so
dive in. Yep.
They're set aside. First of all, the attorney's fees for the plaintiffs being paid for by the league.
Right.
So you could probably add another couple hundred million dollars on top of the 765. Okay, so now you're at almost $1 billion, right?
Right.
Then there's $10 million set aside for education. That's add that on top. There's also supposed to be, I think, $75-85 million for a baseline exam
right.
for players. And then there are some other extra odds and ends. So when you add all that together, you are getting to a number that's closer to $1 billion. And so you get to that number that people were thinking about. What people are seeing is that this is a straight settlement for $765 million. When you settle, generally speaking, in a personal injury lawsuit, the attorneys who handle those kinds of cases, they do these cases on what's called a contingency basis. So whatever you wind up getting, you as the plaintiff get, whether it's a settlement or you win, supposedly, whatever you call it, you know, you get a verdict in your favor, a trial, then after that, the attorney takes a certain percentage plus their costs. So, you know, you could get, let's say you get $1 million in a lawsuit, but it costs that firm $450,000 in fees and then another $200,000 in expert costs to try your case. You're coming home with $350,000.
Right. So let me just break that down real quick. And I get hit by an ambulance. I have a concussion. I want to sue. The ambulance, they have to pay me $1 million. You're saying that I'm not getting all that $1 million because the lawyers take some, the people that they had to bring in to help make my case, they get some of that money. And when it's all said and done, it's kind of like your taxes after you're looking at your paycheck. You're left with a lot less than what you originally made.
Right. And so what this winds up being is you can look at it as the 765 being the net settlement plus all the extras that we're talking about, the education, the baseline exams.
Right.
Things of that nature. So, you know, that's something that people need to think about when they're classifying winners and losers, which I think is a terrible thing to do. And litigation's horrible to begin with. You don't want to get involved in it. I mean, it's unless you really need to and have to.
Right.
It's very, you know, it's taxing physically, mentally, psychologically.
Sure.
It's tough. So, you know, so there's that factor also. Okay. So for people who were beating on the Players Association about this and their attorneys. Not the Players Association, I'm sorry, on the class plaintiffs. I see that as very difficult to do when you think about all the things I just said.
Right.
The other thing that people aren't thinking about here is the Riddell company, the helmet maker,
yep.
They're not part of this settlement. Okay? So I don't know what's happening with them, but the judge's order is pretty clear. It says the Riddell defendants are not part of the settlement. They're not supposed to be speaking about anything, this, and this. So maybe there's still something involved with that group also that's going to further add to the pot, so to speak.
Gotcha.
You know?
That was actually – that led right into my last question, Bram, which
yeah.
is exactly that, which is, you know, is this done or are there more potential lawsuits hanging out there on this issue? And it sounds like that may be one of them.
Well, that was part of the original lawsuit, okay? So, and then you also have – there were four players who recently did file a lawsuit. Their hope is that they're going to get, you know, brought into this class action. The one that's currently, and by the way, it's a tentative settlement. The judge still has to look at everything, ask lots of questions, and then make a decision whether or not she accepts the settlement as offered. Okay, so there is the remote possibility the judge could say, I don't like this, this smells bad, I'm throwing it out, you guys got to go back to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that's going to happen, but it could happen. Okay.
Okay.
So, and the other thing, too, is, you know, I'm sure you all have been reading, there was a lawsuit filed by some players, college players, who against the NCAA for concussion issues. And I think I may have mentioned that in other articles in the past. That's interesting to this case only insofar as the fact that if this case went to trial, okay, and this is also what you have to remember, if this case went to trial, one of the plaintiff's major arguments would have been, how do you know this happened while you were playing with the NFL? You played college
right.
football. You played high school football. You played peewee football.
Exactly.
This is years and years of you know, car crash type hits. And now you're coming to sue us? We're just
because right.
we're the biggest pockets? So, that's the issue for the players also. There was a big, big risk in going to trial with this, with all these plaintiffs. And real quick, on the other end, if you flip the script a little bit here and you talk about the NFL, If this class was certified to any degree, and this case was set for trial, you have what's next called the discovery phase of litigation, and that involves asking questions, written answers, depositions under oath. So you have, and you know, who knows what you're going to find with audits and things like that. You could have the potential for some serious embarrassing information about the league, like something that said, "Yeah, we knew about it, but we just swept it under the rug." I don't think that, you know. I don't
that's
know if
smoking
guns out there, so I'm not saying
right.
that that's out there, but it's something like that. Like an Aaron Brockovich, for example.
Oh, Aaron Brockovich. She See, was very the... sexy in that movie.
So that's something to think about with litigation. It's risky. There's, you know, there's winners, there's losers, I guess you can say. But in the end, you know, the lawsuit goes away to some degree. I'm not sure how this is going to affect future players. Now, there may be something with the collective bargaining agreement, but
that hasn't come to pass yet. So we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there.
Bram Maravin from footballnation.com. You can read his stuff on Football Nation. Bram, thank you so much for joining us today and clearing that up, for especially for my man Bill. He needs some help in this arena.
What?
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the football.
You got
Thanks,
it.
Bram. I was only paying attention. I was listening.
You heard Aaron Brockovich. I think that's all you heard.
My ears peaked up a little bit. Julia Roberts, I'll holla.
You know, it's kind of the dirty secret in the NFL. You know, they got to figure out a way to educate and treat the best they can with these concussions, because this is not going away. The players are getting bigger and stronger each and every year, as we all know.
And faster, yep.
And, you know, and then like he said, if you're trying to sue, how can you sue the NFL? It could have happened in college. You know, your initial injuries could have happened in high school. Who knows, right? So
do you think, I'm not saying right now, and I'm not saying 10 years from now, I'm not saying maybe even 20 years from now, do you think the concussions, the injuries will get so bad that it will become the demise of the NFL?
I don't know, man, because all this stuff seems to happen to the players, you know, 10, 15 years after they retire.
Well, yeah, but all right, so?
No, I don't think it'll be the demise of the NFL.
What I'm saying is right now, America loves the NFL, number one sport in America, no question about it. Will concussions be the reason why the NFL no longer is America's favorite sport in 20 years from now?
I don't think so.
No, not that with that.
We've had a lot of bad concussion news the past couple of years. Right?
Yeah,
terrible
yeah.
stuff happening, suicides, just terrible things with former players, and yet you know we're all excited about the season, right?
I'm really excited about the season, but I don't have any personal risk with talking about football, except my voice can get a little sore.
That's my point. 95% of America. You know, they don't have to worry about it. It's a tough subject, Bill. It's a tough subject to talk about.
Yeah.
We're all such huge fans of the sport, and there's just an inherent risk when you play the sport. These guys are big monsters colliding at high speeds, and, you know, bad things can happen. And so, you know, we'll have Bram on again if there's any further developments in the story. I don't think it's going away, Bill. And let's just hope that the people, the former players, the families that need the medical attention and the finances will get it quickly. Like you said, I think a large chunk of that stuff goes in the first 3 years, is paid
right.
out in the first 3 years, and then up to
the
next 17 years after that. So let's hope the people that need the help now are getting it.
Kevin, we got to take a break, or can we power through the next 10 minutes? Power through. All right, I think we should kind of have some fun towards the end of the show. I want to make some predictions. We did our Super Bowl predictions before, but let's turn our attention toward some individual predictions for MVP, Rookie of the Year, the best quarterback in fantasy. I think that could be a little fun way to end the show, get excited for week one, and have some fun knowing that football is just around the corner.
All right, where are we starting?
Kevin, are you going to participate, or are you just going to be a slacker and not listen?
I can participate if you want.
All right, MVP, Todd, who you got?
NFL MVP or fantasy MVP?
NFL MVP.
It will be Drew Brees, who's going to bounce back, lead his Saints to the playoffs. Sean Payton is back. The offense is going to click, and they're going to be in the playoffs this year. He's going to put up huge numbers. It's always a quarterback or a crazy running back that has a big year like Adrian Peterson. I don't think the running back's going to have 2,000 yards this year. It's going to be a quarterback. It's going to be Drew Brees.
I like that prediction, Todd, but I'm going to go with someone different. Kevin, I want to hear who you have first.
I'll go with Peyton Manning.
See, not that out on the limb, Kev. If you want to play this game, you're going to have to try to think a little bit harder than that.
Well, I'm going to go with Peyton Manning.
All right. So
Bill, you
boring.
Get all these weapons
the
now?
Yeah, I picked them to win the Super Bowl, so it's a little different.
It's not.
All right, it's not. I just
he
like
leaves
busting.
In the,
I
the
just
Super
like
Bowl,
busting
I think that
Kevin
enhances
chops.
His candidacy, right?
No, I think it's decided before that, no?
No, but I mean, obviously they will have had a great regular season.
Yeah, that's true. I got Matt Ryan as my 2013 MVP. I think the Falcons are in for a monster year. I think Matty Ice got a big contract in the offseason. He got that playoff monkey off his back. Now it's time to win more than one playoff game, and that's going to happen this year. He's going to be your 2013 MVP.
All right, what's next?
Best offense. I know we said we're doing individual awards. We're going back and forth. Leave me alone. Best offense. Most points per game. Todd, who you got?
I think it'll be the Denver Broncos. I think Peyton Manning has so many toys to play with out there in the Mile High City. They scored, I believe, the second most amount of points last year, 481 points. That number's going to go up above 500. I think the Patriots are right there neck and neck, but I think they're going to go down a little bit from last year. So I think the Broncos will score the most points in the league.
Kevin, how about you?
It's a tough one. I'm gonna go with the Broncos.
All right, the division, Kev. The division's terrible. They get to play the Raiders twice, the Chiefs twice, Chargers twice. There's six games there that they're going to just rip it up.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's a great point, Todd, and I'm going to stick with the Broncos. We got a trifecta here. All of us believe Broncos. Saints, Falcons, Patriots, yeah, they're all going to be in the running, but it seems like we all think the Broncos are going to take it away. Best fantasy quarterback. Which quarterback, which passer is going to have the most fantasy points in 2013?
Drew Brees. Already
so he's
that.
Your pick. He's your pick for MVP and fantasy quarterback MVP.
Yep.
Well, why would you stray on that? It's basically right. Like the same question.
Yep. In
my mind, it is.
Fantasy points are very different than how the NFL judges MVPs.
That's true. He's right. I mean,
well, you got to win games, but you also got to have crazy numbers.
I think Matt Ryan is going to be the MVP. I think Drew Brees, I agree with Todd, I think Drew Brees or Peyton Manning are going to be the best quarterbacks for fantasy.
Okay.
Kevin, you may have, who are you?
Go, I'm going to go outside. I'll differ. I'll go Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. All right. Best running back, Todd, what do you think? Let's not, for this, just for the sake of argument, we're all going to pick Adrian Peterson. So let's not pick Adrian Peterson. Can we pick someone other than Adrian Peterson just for this?
Let's go with the wild card.
Whoa, Kevin's got the hamster. Kevin, you're going with Doug Martin, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's my vote.
Okay.
It took Kevin an hour and 53 minutes to play that his favorite clip there.
He was so excited to play it, too. He couldn't wait for an opportunity.
Yeah, we didn't touch on Doug Martin at all. Yeah, I'm going to go super wild card here, Bill. A guy with ridiculous upside and some downside. I'm going to go with LeSean McCoy, Philadelphia Eagles. Chip Kelly loves to run the rock, and LeSean McCoy could go off this year big time.
I like that pick, but I'm going to go with Trent Richardson from the Cleveland Browns. I'm really excited about the opportunity he has now with that offensive coordinator, Norv Turner is in town. I love the O-line there in Cleveland. I think Trent Richardson has a big-time year. Kevin, obviously, the music said enough. You don't have to tell us, but you're taking Doug Martin.
Yes, sir.
All right. Best wide receiver fantasy points. The wide receiver with the most fantasy points. Who's it going to be? Are we all going to say Calvin Johnson? If that's the case, let's go with the number two wide receiver.
I'll say this. Megatron's the obvious pick. However, I do think if the stars align and Dez Bryant can keep his head on straight, he has a chance to be in the same stratosphere as Megatron. He's that talented. He's got a good quarterback. Dez Bryant's got a chance to be right up there with Megatron.
Dez Bryant can certainly be, I'll tell you, a monster. I don't know what nickname we can come up with him. It used to be Dez the Pez because he was such a knucklehead, always screwing up off the field. But it finally seems like he matured over the summer, even towards the end of last year. So hopefully that's the case. I think he could be an explosive player. I'm with you, Todd. If it's not going to be Calvin Johnson, I'm going to go with Dez Bryant.
Okay.
Kevin, who do you think?
I'm going to go with Calvin.
The game was, if you were not picking Calvin Johnson.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that.
You get skip. We're skipping you now.
Fine, skip me. Go ahead.
Comeback player of the year.
I'm not doing Danny Amendola, I'll tell you that much.
Julian Edelman? Comeback player of the year. Todd, who you got?
I'm going to go with LeSean McCoy for everything I stated with earlier. He had a bad year last year, injured, Eagles stunk. I think the offense will be much improved, and he's going to be the focal point of the offense. So LeSean McCoy is my comeback player of the year.
I'm going with Larry Fitz from the Arizona Cardinals. He had like 700 yards last year. There's no way that he's going to repeat that awful performance from 2012. Improved quarterback play with Carson Palmer. Larry Fitz is my comeback player of the year. Kevin, who are you going with?
Can I go with Blaine Gabbert?
If you want. Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding. I'm trying to figure out who the hell qualifies for that award. It's a strange award.
How about Maurice Jones-Drew?
Someone that came back from injury? No, yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew, Brian Cushing.
What about Vic? Does he count?
Yeah, Vic counts.
I'm going to go with Vic.
All right. Good pick. Good pick, Kev. On the spot, too. Todd, you pick LeSean McCoy. You guys pick teammates. Mike Vick and LeSean McCoy. I got Fitz. Rookie of the year. Who are we going with for rookie of the year?
My man crush, Gio Bernard, running back.
You just love this guy.
You loved him
at North Carolina. You loved him when he went and got drafted.
Yep.
Giovanni Bernard, your rookie of the year.
Yep.
Todd, Kevin, how about you?
I'm going to go with, how about Tavon Austin?
All right, not a bad thought. I thought you were going to be a homer, go with Kembrell Tompkins.
Nah, I'm going to go with Austin.
Tavon Austin, okay. You know, I can't see myself disagreeing with Todd on this one. Giovanni Bernard just seems player.
Let me put a disclaimer out there. This is going to be a down year for fantasy rookies. Gio Bernard's not going to put up Doug Martin numbers or Alfred Morris numbers. I don't want to, you know, lead the people astray. I just think that when the dust settles, he'll be the best rookie player. But I don't think he's going to put up ridiculous numbers like those other guys. Not yet.
I'm with you there.
Do you know what
I'm
I mean?
With you there.
Yeah.
Todd, do you have a bust candidate? Who is the biggest bust this year? Who is not going to live up to expectations?
Well, the one guy that I'm a little concerned about, there's a couple running backs, Bill.
Okay. Right?
And a receiver. And I'm just putting them out there. I've got some of them on some of my fantasy teams, but I'm a little concerned about Matt Forte, Alfred Morris, and Dwayne Bowe.
Dwayne Bowe, interesting. I'm not surprised that you're a little bit concerned about Alfred Morris because we've been burned by head coach Mike Shanahan before with his running backs. I'm assuming that's the reasoning behind your Alfred Morris selection.
I just, you know, when you invest a high fantasy draft pick, early second round or whatever it was for Alfred Morris, you got to rely on Shanahan. You know, we've seen it in the past, Bill, with the Broncos, Orlandis Gary, Mike Anderson, Clinton Portis, Terrell Davis. He finds guys out of nowhere, and they have big years. He found Alfred Morris. Will this year be Roy Helu breaking? You know, who knows? I don't know. It'll probably be Alfred Morris, but it wouldn't surprise me if he threw a curveball at us at some point this season.
I agree with another one of your picks, Matt Forte. I'm a little worried about the Chicago Bears this year, but I'm interested to hear why you selected Dwayne Bowe as a bus guy.
I don't know. He's a little bit of a knucklehead like most of these wide receivers are. Okay.
It's not a bad pick because I'm not sold on Alex Smith either.
I think there's a lot of hype with Andy Reid and Alex Smith going to Kansas City, and I've been burned by Dwayne Bowe in the past. I know his quarterbacks were crap, but I've been burned by him in the past, and I wouldn't be surprised if he went through long stretches of poor production this season.
Final 2 minutes of the show. We want to go through the playoff predictions, the AFC, NFC, division by division winners, also the two wild cards. This way we have it recorded,
it
in the books.
This is fun.
What?
I like doing this. This is fun.
Yeah, this way we have it in the books, we have it recorded, and at the end of the year we can replay it. No analysis. I'm just going to spit out a division. You give me your picks. Todd, AFC East.
Patriots.
Kevin?
Patriots.
We agree. Everyone has the Patriots. AFC West. Todd.
AFC West, Broncos.
Kevin.
Broncos.
I'm also taking the Broncos. So far, all of us are on the same page. AFC North, Todd.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Wow. All right. Kevin, who you got?
Go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm with you, Kevin. I'm going with the Steelers as well. Todd, I like the pick as the Bengals. We'll get to why in a little bit. AFC South, Todd, who you got?
Texans.
Kevin?
I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts.
Ooh, all right. Interesting pick. I'm going to go with the Texans as well, so Todd and I agree on the AFC South, both of us taking the Texans. Todd, who are your two wild card teams for the AFC?
Steelers are in. I think they're going to have a bounce back year.
Okay.
I wanted to take another team, but I've got to settle on the Colts, only because I can't see any other AFC team stepping it up. Maybe the Dolphins, but I just don't see it. The Colts, I'm a big believer in Andrew Luck, so I got to stick to my beliefs, and I'll say that they're going to make it into the playoffs for a second year in a row.
The Ravens, you're saying the Ravens are not making the playoffs.
Out
of the playoffs. Okay, Kevin, who are your two wild card teams?
I'm going to go with, since I picked the Colts, I'm going to go with Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go with, I want to pick the Ravens, I do, but.
Do it.
I'll go with Houston. I'm going to go with the San Diego Chargers.
San Diego Superchargers. All right, not a bad pick. We'll see what happens with Phillip Rivers this year and his first-year head coach, Mike McCoy. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals because I took the Steelers to win the North, and I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that's shocking. You know what? They had six Pro Bowlers last year. Love Andy Reid as the head coach. Love Alex Smith as the quarterback. Jamaal Charles, my favorite running back in the league. Love their defense. I think
they could quadruple their win total and still make the playoffs.
I hope they do that. I hope they do that because at the end of the year, I'm going to say the Chiefs, I picked them, and I'm with them now. AFC Championship game, everyone agrees, Pats and Broncos.
Yeah, I think that's the inevitable.
Kevin?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's move over to the NFC quickly. Todd, NFC East, who are you taking?
New York Football Giants. Every other year they do well. This is the other year, so they're going to win the NFC East.
Seems to be the case. Kevin,
gonna
Todd?
I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm going with the Cowboys, too. I don't know why I'm confusing your names all show long. I'm going with the Cowboys, too. I think something's happening down there in Dallas. I think this year is the make-or-break year for them. Dallas
Every
Cowboys.
Every year's make-or-break. It's Jerry Jones, it's Garrett, it's Romo, it's Fail.
Garrett's getting fired if they don't make the playoffs. NFC West, everyone picking the 49ers?
Yep.
Or is anyone taking the Seahawks?
Seahawks.
Todd, you're taking the Seahawks. Kevin?
I'm going Niners.
I'm going Niners as well. NFC North, Todd, who you got?
Green Bay Packers.
Kevin?
Green Bay Packers.
I'm taking the Detroit Lions. NFC South. NFC South. Todd?
Atlanta Falcons.
Kevin?
Going to go with the New Orleans Saints.
I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons, too. Todd, wild card. Who are you taking?
The NFC is stacked. The two wild cards are Saints and Niners.
I'm going to take the Packers and Saints. Seahawks are not making the playoffs.
I'm
going to
take the Falcons and the Seahawks, the two birds.
Falcons and the Seahawks. Play the noise.
I can't find it.
I can't find it. That's all right. We'll get it next time. There you go.
Takes me a minute, damn it.
Seahawks and the Falcons for Kevin. I'm taking the Packers and the Saints. Todd, 49ers and the Saints for the wild card. NFC Championship, boys. Todd, who you got?
Seattle, San Fran.
Kevin? Ooh, Seattle, San Fran? That would be a great match. NFC
game.
West?
That would be
yeah.
a phenomenal game.
We all wanted to see them play three times last year.
I'll go with Atlanta and the Niners.
I'm going to go with Atlanta and the Niners as well. But Atlanta wins this year. I have Atlanta and the Broncos in the Super Bowl. So that's why I'm taking Atlanta in the NFC Championship over the San Francisco 49ers.
Patriots fans, Kevin, you're going to have the Lombardi Trophy in studio in February.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
They're going to hoist it for the final time, Kevin.
Todd's
so
all pumped up.
It
would be Todd's awesome. Trying to get the Pat fans pumped up. Everyone needs to be pumped up because week one is here. Denver Broncos and Ravens on Thursday night, and then we have a full loaded schedule on Sunday and Monday night. Any closing thoughts before we kick off?
Go Ravens.
Todd?
Patriots 34, Bills 13.
Kevin, prediction? Pats Bills?
I'm going to go a little bit lower score. I'm going to go 27-10.
42-14 for me. I want to thank everyone for listening to today's Football Nation program. Have fun in week one and best of luck in your fantasy football leagues. Take care, have fun, and good luck.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.